Good morning, Charlottesville. Welcome to Real Estate Matters. I'm Michael Guthrie. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA, FM 98.9. Hey, we're hoping that your Saturday is off to a great start this second weekend in November. Pretty crazy that we are quickly sliding down the slide of 2019. And before we know it, we'll be into the holidays and looking forward to 2020. Which is pretty amazing. And about this time every year, I get the pleasure and the privilege of having David Murata come on the show with me. David is a guy that really keeps a finger on the pulse because of his business as it relates to, you know, all things financial, and all things financial ultimately do trickle down or even be pushed forward by real estate, ergo the name Real Estate Matters. And by the way, you are listening to News Radio 1070 WINA, FM 98.9. You can follow us at facebook.com/realestatematters or at capital R, capital E, matters, capital WINA on Twitter. Happy for you to find us in any way. Happy for you to listen to the podcast by going to www.wina.com. Click on podcast, go to Real Estate Matters. You'll find an archive of all of our shows there. And hopefully you enjoy them, you copy, you paste them, you send them off to your friends, you post them on social media saying, hey, this is a good listen. Any way you find us, we're grateful and thankful to have you with us on Real Estate Matters with Michael Guthrie. And as I said, we're here with David Murata. David is a friend, but also has a really good pulse on things that are going on. So As I said earlier, I like to have him come in near the end of the year and kind of talk about what the rest of the year might look like, and just his initial thoughts about 2020. And folks, it's not always about local. I mean, ultimately, our economy, the nation, international economy, that kind of thing, will impact us locally. But I think you need to understand the whole picture, not only for your own sake in regards to how you invest, but also if you are thinking about buying or selling, how the local and international markets, domestic and international markets can make a difference. So, David, thank you so much for being here again this morning. We're really grateful to have you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Just talk a little bit about your background. I love the story about how you guys got into the business, you and Croissant. You do a lot of really cool things outside your work. I listen to Croissant's podcast that she does, Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday in the Word is the name of it, and I really enjoy her teaching. But talk a little bit about how you guys got involved in this, you know, financial management, wealth management type of business, and because you've been doing it for quite some time now.
Yeah, and this is actually a historic year for financial planning in general. It turns out that financial planning as a profession is turning 50 years old this year. December 12th, 1969, a group of men gathered together and said there's got to be a better way of delivering good financial planning advice to clients than just selling products. And that was the beginning of everything from the CFP, the fee-only movement, the NAPFA movement, the comprehensive wealth management, comprehensive financial planning, and not just investment advice. And that's really what we do. We try to handle everything about a client's finances to get their finances in order. And there's so much, a bottomless, you know, financial planning, comprehensive financial planning is a bottomless pit. It just really doesn't end. And investments is certainly at the root of that. It's certainly the engine of wealth growth, but and asset allocation is a piece of that. So one of the things that we do is we try to look at not only different investments and which ones will do well, but how they fit together in a comprehensive portfolio. And real estate, either with publicly traded real estate or privately held real estate, is an important part of that for several reasons. One of which is it really doesn't move in sync with the rest of the markets. They measure
it's
how
crazy
much.
Crazy. The case. You would think it does, but it doesn't at all.
Yeah, no. And how real estate movements is really independent from how the rest of the market moves. So the correlation is how they measure that, and the correlation between say the U.S. real estate market and the U.S. S&P 500 is really below 0.7. It bounces between 0.58 and 0.68.
Now, for us novice people, tell us what that means, 0.7, 0.58.
If two things move perfectly in sync, they'd be 1.0.
Okay.
And we consider anything that moves 0.7 or less really a different asset class. So a lot of the U.S. markets move together and they move in sync with one another, but real estate really doesn't, real estate investments. And those are publicly traded real estate investments. Privately held real estate investments have less volatility because they're not publicly priced and traded every day.
And when you're talking about public, you're talking about like the REITs, the
yes.
real estate investment trusts?
Yeah, the real estate investment trusts. And we tend to use Vanguard Real Estate Investment Trust. It's VNQ is the symbol. Got an incredibly low expense ratio and a great diversity, and VNQ has had a phenomenal run. It's got a 10-year return that's been averaging 12.88%, which is ridiculous. So it's better than the S&P 500. Year to date, it's up 28.13, which is also ridiculous. And actually, as a consequence of that, we're now underweighting it. Because we think the price to earnings, the forward price to earnings is higher than the historical average. The historical average is around 15 and it's all the way up at 45.
And David, for folks to get more information on that, I'm guessing they can go to maradaonmoney.com and get that stuff.
Yeah, we have no secret sauce. We publish, thousands of articles on our website, and we try to just give that information away for free. Because smarter investors just make better investors. We have a lot of people who follow our blog that aren't our clients simply to try to better their own financial situation.
It's interesting when you say that about, no secret sauce and that kind of thing. I talk all the time on this show about, getting the right information so you can be educated to make the right decision, right?
Yeah, and making those right decisions is important, and they make the difference between, whether you're going to be thriving or you're going to be languishing in what you're invested in.
And then the similarity, from my standpoint, is that whole education so you make the right decision. So many folks could go to maradaonmoney.com or go to any place on the web and read all sorts of stuff, get all the information they need to be educated. But at the end of the day, you need somebody you can trust to kind of sift through it and help you plan your strategy based on your situations versus just reading. And the same thing with real estate. It used to be that the only way you got the information was through the MLS system. You had to go through an agent. Now you can go out there and find the properties, and you think, okay, great, then I can do this all on my own. But then once you get into it, you really need somebody to come in and help you decide, is this the geographic area I want to be in? Is this a good investment strategy or whatever? And that's where you need a professional, somebody that you can really trust to have your best interest in mind to help you make those decisions.
Yeah, I've bought four different pieces of real estate in Charlottesville, and I don't think I would have bought any of them without the help of a real estate agent. Just the working through the process and the inspections and trying to do all of that has been a great process. And, you take a real estate agent out and you ask them to see a piece of property, and then they tell you, I don't think that's a great piece of property for you. But now we've learned something. And so I found actually just going out with real estate agents, I learn as much as they do about me. I learn about their area of expertise. I do very much value the professional aspects of other financial professionals, real estate agents, estate planning attorneys, CPAs. We're kind of a niche or a family practice doctor, but we need help in all of those other areas. And, we do have clients who do some of that themselves. And I always think, yeah, but you're not quite getting everything that you could be getting if you had a really good financial professional. And, there are bad financial professionals out there, as there are in every career, and finding the right ones. We keep a list of people that we recommend, and it's really just based on the past experience of dozens of clients as to whether or not, they're the right person or not.
Well, the other interesting thing you're talking about, and I hadn't really thought about this coming on the show, is there's so many times that I'm giving people information and sharing things with them and whatever, and they end up not working with our firm for different reasons. Just had that happen over the weekend. Helping some people look for property, blah, blah, blah. And a piece of property came along, and somebody else told them about it, and they bought it, which was good for them. And then this weekend, I got an email saying, hey, sorry, but we're going to go a different direction in regards to listing our property, and here are the reasons why. And I think he's an old friend, college friend. And I think he was worried, and I said, look, you this is your decision to make. Obviously, I'm disappointed. We would have loved to have been involved in it, but the person you chose is a really good realtor, and I know she'll do a great job. And, I think he was just like extremely relieved that there was no hard feelings. It's not going to do anything to our friendship. And I think that's because you kind of, like you all do, you kind of do the business with your open handed, and you want to give, and you know that enough will come your way.
Yeah. My impression is that the best financial professionals don't actually care who signs up as a client. They just are trying to give away free information. And if you focus on helping people, then I think the right people will come to you as clients.
Yeah, it's a whole aspect of being relational versus transactional, right?
That's right.
And it's true in both of our situations. So we got a couple of minutes before we go to the break. Real quick, explain to people why when the economy, there's bad news in the economy, there's a very good chance that mortgage rates will stay the same or maybe even go down a little bit, even though it's bad news.
Yeah, you know, the interest rates were very, very low during the entire Obama years. They were just flatlined at the bottom. After Trump was elected, they began raising it up. And that's really one of the reasons why Trump said, hey, why are you raising them under my administration? Because low interest rates help all financial transactions. It just makes it easier to move money around and easier to borrow and invest. And they raised it up, and we had an inverted yield curve because the short-term interest rates became better than the long-term interest rates. And really, a lot of people said, well, that must mean we have a recession coming. But an inverted yield curve can be produced by the government simply by raising short-term interest rates. What it meant was that investors thought, sure, you're giving that for the short term, but that's not going to be long term. You're going to lower them, and the long-term interest rates therefore were lower. And sure enough, the Fed came back and has been lowering interest rates recently. So it's once again made it a good market. I felt like 2018 was probably the best year to be a seller. It was an incredible market. We had three or four properties come for sale in our neighborhood. Three of them sold in the first weekend for higher than they were asking, which was ridiculous. The fourth one didn't even come on the market. It sold, you know, prior to even coming on the market. And so I don't even know what they were going to be asking for it. This year's been much harder. We've had two properties for sale, and they both kind of sat there. One's now a rental. One finally sold. But I don't think it sold for as much as they thought it was going to sell for. So I think it was much harder in 2019 to be selling properties. I think partly everyone thought, oh, well, it's going to just keep going up. So they just added, you know, 10% onto whatever last year was. And one of the difficulties with individual real estate is that there's no publicly pricing every single day. And if your house was publicly priced every single day for what someone would offer you for it, it would bounce around wildly. But it doesn't bounce around wildly because it sits on the market for months and months. With the interest rates lowering, we might be getting another opportunity with lower interest rates. People can pay more and still have the same monthly payment. And then that's one of the things that, as you suggested, really drives a lot of the real estate pricing. So with lower prices, this might again be a seller's market coming up in 2020. On the other hand, there's enough on the market that it might be a buyer's market, and it might be a good time to lock in a low interest rate for the next 30 years. But I do think we're at a tipping point where in the future, it's not going to be as easy to sell a property and it's going to be hard to buy it because of interest rates.
Yeah, I totally agree. Hey, I'm talking to David Morata from MoratoOnMoney.com. You can find all the information there. We're going to take a quick break and let Ask Landis and Charlottesville Settlement share with you what they do. Charlottesville Settlement, if you are thinking about buying or selling, would love to handle the transaction for you from a paperwork standpoint. And Ask Landis is ready to help you in whatever way to get your house ready to put on the market. And even if you're not going to put on the market, they can do amazing things to help you get rid of stuff that you just don't know what to do with. So have a listen. And if you need their help, give them a call and let them know you heard. Right here on Real Estate Matters with Michael Guthrie, David Morata and I will be right back. Welcome back to Real Estate Matters. I'm Michael Guthrie. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA, FM 98.9. Follow us at facebook.com/Real Estate Matters. Talking with David Morata, with the president of the Morata Wealth Management. You can find them at MorataOnMoney.com. We went into the break talking about, you know, where the market's going, that kind of thing. I'm going to ask you one more quick question about that, David, and then I want you really to get into kind of the bigger picture in regards to domestic and international and what people can look at. I totally agree with you that we're kind of at a funny place in regards to the market because there are some places that things are just selling so quickly. And then there are other places that houses are staying on the market where they didn't before. The one wild card is really the lack of inventory. A lot of folks are staying put because they can't find something else to buy. So they're either staying put and just doing whatever, or they're doing an addition or something to make their house more livable, putting a first floor master bedroom on so that they can live there a long time or whatever. And so it'll be interesting to see as we get into the last quarter of 2020 and into 2019 and into 2020. What we can look at, but let's do talk about the domestic and the international. You have to look at that on a day-to-day basis. You talked about it earlier about daily marketing. Talk about the different things that are out there that people should be wary of, either in looking forward to an upswing and taking advantage of that, or places that could be a problem.
Yeah, we have a few sayings within our firm, that mantras that we repeat to ourselves to keep ourselves sane. And one is, it's always a good time to have a balanced portfolio. I had one client say, well, you know, the markets can't just go up forever, can they? And I said, well, actually, that's what they've done for the last 200 years, albeit with a number of bear markets and a few, crashes. That's, but it continues to go up. And it's very, very difficult to time the markets. It's very, very difficult to time inflations. We had an inverted yield curve earlier this year, and it brought back to me the economist joke. Economists have predicted 18 of the last 12 recessions, because they're always predicting recessions, but they don't always happen.
I like that.
They did a survey of financial advisors and said, how many of you think there'll be a recession in the next 5 years? And I forget, it was like 60%. The ridiculous thing about that is there's a recession on average every 5.6 years. So really the answer should have been 100%. Sure, there'll be a recession in the next 5.6 years, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the stock market is going to go down. And quite often the stock market actually has a run up before there's a recession. So if you miss the run up, then it's, you're invested just for the downturn. So we think it's always a good time to have a balanced portfolio, and therefore we tend to remain invested. The one thing we do is we tilt back and forth based on forward PE ratio. So a PE ratio is, what is the price of a stock? And the E is what is the earnings that you're expecting? And a forward PE ratio is, what are the forward earnings that are expected over the next 12 years? And it turns out domestic real estate is actually very expensive. It's had a huge run up. It's done incredibly well, but it looks expensive compared to the earnings stream. Meanwhile, foreign real estate actually looks really attractive. Its forward PE ratio is 12.76 right now, which is sitting lower than its historical average.
And what would the historical average be?
It's around 15.2.
Okay.
So in our investment right now, we have about half of what we normally have invested in the U.S. markets, and we have about 119% of what we usually have invested in the foreign markets. And believe it or not, in splitting your REIT investments, your publicly traded REIT investments between foreign and domestic, actually lowers your volatility. In fact, I did some analysis for the past 10 years, and the lowest volatility is actually just 50-50 of each. It's a very simple asset allocation. So the foreign real estate has done good, but not as good as the domestic real estate. And as a result, now it looks more attractive. So we tend to tilt a little bit back and forth between whatever is attractive. And quite often that means if something's had a big run-up, we not only sell it to rebalance, we sell a little bit more than that to rebalance it even lower. And that tilt sort of keeps us sane, and it keeps us out of, or not out of entirely, because our tilt goes between 50% and 150%. And that's my dad. He's a financial Rembrandt. He's always in the back of my mind, and he would always say, make half a mistake. So don't make a full mistake, make half a mistake. And you'll either be at 50% of what we're normally invested in U.S. REITs. We'll either be happy that we are down at 50%, but sad we kept the other 50%, or at least we've got 50% because it's still doing well. So that keeps us sane.
Yeah, absolutely. And so let's talk about the international, not as much the real estate, but just, one of the reasons, and you tell me if I'm wrong about this, and I'm very basic in my thinking, but, this whole issue with the Chinese and the tariffs and things like that, I think has had an impact on keeping the mortgage interest rates low because of the uncertainty that it creates. Now, it looks like they've come to some, mutual agreement, and some of that stuff is being resolved. How do you all look at that from, not as much from a real estate standpoint, but just from a financial planning situation, where you look at these different hot spots around, whether it be oil or whether it be, whatever, and how that does create that uncertainty, which in our situation, again, keeps interest rates down, which can be a positive thing. But from an individual person who's got their money invested, it can really be a roller coaster ride.
Yes, it can be a roller coaster ride, and it's very disconcerting, especially as people approach retirement, because they tend to think, as long as I've got money coming in, it's okay. But now I'm this is my pot; it's got to last me forever, and they tend to get very, very scared at that point. And it's understandable, because the markets it said the markets climb a wall of worry, and they always have something to worry about. And if you look back in history, you know, you look at what the markets have been through in terms of very, very diverse and very hard situations, it actually makes today seem relatively quiet in terms of historical things that are going on when you look back at all the different conflicts and wars, and the market just seems to keep, you know, chugging up. And when it goes down, it goes down sometimes for not great reasons, and then the recovery happens during some turbulent times. So we actually give out a quarterly review of the global markets, and it's got all the little indicators on it of all the news events. And one of the reasons we send that out is because you can sometimes see that the news events have very little to do with the market movements.
Yeah, that's a great point.
When you time them on there. In terms of foreign investments, the U.S. has just had probably one of its best decades ever. And this past decade, the S&P 500 basically beat every single other investment category it could have. But the decade before that, the S&P 500 lost to just basically every other category. So it's had a great decade, and preceded by that, a terrible decade. And if you take the whole 20 years together, it's just been average, maybe a little below average. So we try to keep diversified in all the different categories. And, you know, a decade ago, people were asking me, why are we invested in the U.S. at all? It's done terrible. And now people are asking me, why are we not invested entirely in the U.S.? And those are just the normal silly questions that you get after a decade of something doing well.
Well, I think the other thing, the other points made, and again, going back to what we talked about earlier in regards to in real estate, you're not pricing it every day. People could drive themselves crazy if they look at this thing every day versus, hey, I'm going to trust the person that I've engaged in watching my money, and maybe I'm going to look at it on a monthly basis in regards to when I get my statement, or a quarterly basis. But you know, I'm in this thing for the long haul. If you look at it every day, you would drive somebody like yourself crazy. I'm calling you, hey, why did my stuff go down this much? And then the next day, hey, why did my stuff go up this much?
Yeah, we actually have an article. What are normal market movements? And we just chronicle what's a normal market movement for a day, a week, a year. And we actually have on there, what is the threshold that if you called your advisor because the market moved that much, you'd be calling your advisor every year about why is the market moved that much? And we just think long-term investing, one client I recommended, that he looks at his portfolio every day. And I said, well, every day, look at how it did the last 30 years. Because that's a good metric. A 30-year time horizon is actually a long enough time horizon. It turns out a decade is not long enough to really get market movements.
And so in the last couple of minutes, for somebody like myself, almost 67 years old, I got to make sure my stuff's invested differently than somebody who's 40.
Yeah, we recommend that clients have 5 to 7 years of whatever they're going to withdraw from their portfolio in bonds. And that provides a long enough time period for the markets to do their magic. If you look at the one standard deviation movements in the markets for 7 years and beyond, the bottom of one standard deviation is above zero. So you have a very good likelihood of making money in the markets even over a 7-year time period. You know, at a 10-year time period, there's like a 94% chance of the markets going up. It's still not 100%, but it's a very good likelihood. So we like to say you need to have enough bonds for the next 5 to 7 years so you can sleep well at night, and enough stocks so you can eat well in a decade.
Hey, I'm talking with David Murata from Murata Wealth Management. MurataOnMoney.com is where you can find all this information, all these different reports, all the different things that he's talking about. You can find them there, and if you have questions, you can put in their information, email them, and I'm sure they'll get back to you in a timely fashion.
Yeah, we're always writing new articles. So, and if our articles aren't something we're doing for a client, it's something that someone has asked from the public.
Yeah, absolutely. David Murata, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Folks, our time is up. We thank you for yours. And as always, go Hoos.